Welcome to Manager Tools. How to Action Engagement Survey Results, Chapter 3, The Questions, Part 10. The questions this cast answers are, how should I respond to my engagement survey results? What should I do with my scores on an engagement survey? And how can I improve my engagement survey results? If you'd like answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Don't get spooked that 2023 is almost in the can and you've not done all that you could to get your team trained. You may have lost some key players and you need to get their directs ready to step up. Contact Maggie, as we have a few dates left this year so that you could still get training before the end of 2023. And if that's too cramped, start the new year fresh with training that's a great reset. Contact Maggie at maggie@manager-tools.com to learn more about all of our offerings and discuss availabilities and strategies for planning an upcoming event.
Again, folks, we're looking at engagement surveys and dealing with the questions asked and how to get information from your directs as to how you and the company can improve. Now we're going to talk about the questions on this 140 question survey regarding recognition.
Yeah. This is another category where your organization assumes you share responsibility with them for how your people get recognized. Don't assume it's all just about systems and processes controlled by HR. Most managers don't know, and shame on us, all the possible reward and recognition systems in our own companies. Most managers find out when other managers avail themselves of the system, generally more veteran managers who have worked the system. And how could any manager not realize that positive feedback and praise are recognition and completely in the control of the direct manager? If you get the basics right of verbally rewarding people or recognizing people with positive feedback and praise, you'll end up with a lot less pressure for more pay and benefits or corporate level rewards and recognition. Every manager thinks, oh, I don't want to give too much positive. They'll be begging me for a raise. That's actually not the case. It's not the case. You can reduce the pressure on pay and performance requests by doing a good job of telling them how good they're doing. Yeah.
Because unlike you, all they work for is their pay. All the other stuff doesn't matter. It matters to you.
Pay is just high.
Not to them.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Okay. First question. I receive appropriate recognition besides my pay for my contributions.
Well, have you been given positive feedback regularly to everybody on your team? No, you haven't. Do you believe that managers shouldn't give positive feedback just for people doing their jobs, quote unquote? Can you not imagine a world where everyone always does their jobs? I think that would be nirvana. If you got low scores here and you're not giving feedback, positive feedback, that's as far as you need to go for your solution. As the old saying goes, when you find a problem in your organization, look for its cause in increasingly larger concentric circles around your own desk. In this case, ask and capture, can you give me some examples of performance that deserved recognition and didn't get it? And what kind of recognition are you thinking?
Nice. This organization recognizes employees for good work performance.
Same basic principle. You got to put the foundation in there, and that's positive feedback and praise. But you can ask and capture on this one. What are we doing or not doing to recognize you? Any suggestions?
This company recognizes employees for things they do that will help the company succeed.
Same. And ask and capture, what have we done or not done to recognize your contributions to the company?
I am rewarded for exceeding my goals.
Yeah, if you get a low score here, okay. But here's what you'll ask. Can you share some examples of exceeding your goals that didn't get rewarded? What should we have done?
Do you have goals?
Yeah.
I receive recognition when I do a good job.
Yeah, again, this is a reminder about positive feedback. Your bar is probably too high to justify giving it. The more you give it, the better your scores will be in this area, even if your company has poor recognition systems. Positive feedback is recognition, and it's a lot cheaper and faster than submitting a form hoping somebody gets a certificate or a spot bonus. Not that there's anything wrong with spot bonuses or certificates. They're just not within your control. And they take administrative time and they take approval Even if you can do it, it still has to be probably signed off by your boss or your HR business partner. Start giving more, smaller, quicker, polite, positive-minded, positive feedback and praise. Now, ask and capture. Can you share some examples of not receiving recognition when you should have gotten it and I should have given it?
In the last week, I've received recognition or praise for doing good work.
Yeah, here we go. This is a classic example that shines a light on whether managers are doing what they're supposed to be doing, because companies can't be worried every week. Now, the reason they say week is because there's data from the original engagement surveys that suggest people expect to hear at least once a week about something they're doing. And sure, there's the rare exception of somebody who's always late and doesn't do their job and it's nothing but a problem. But the vast majority of people do enough good stuff every week. And you meet with them once a week if you're doing one-on-ones, where you could end the one-on-one with some positive feedback. We have guidance we mentioned earlier called Yes, Please, Praise, Thank You. Praise is easy and fast, and it actually can be given to a group as well as individuals. Now, it's not as powerful an effect on performance as positive feedback, but praise is a good tool. Just don't start giving praise and then not giving positive feedback, while also then throwing out negative feedback. That makes negative feedback even more negative. Praise is fine, but you've got to, if you're going to give negative feedback, you've got to give positive feedback. They have to be in the same form.
Yeah. And you're probably going to tell me that you give somebody positive feedback about showing up to meetings consistently on time.
I do. What? Well, not consistently.
No, if that's they're what on they're time, supposed to do. That's their job.
Yeah, sure. But imagine everybody showing up on time all the time.
God, wouldn't that be great?
It would be great. And then people say, well, I'm going to have a chicken and the egg conversation with old Mr. Horseman here. I'm going to say, well, I'll start doing that when they start doing it. Well, okay. If they do it once, why not give them positive feedback? See whether or not they do it twice in a week, and then three times and four times. And don't believe the blog post you can find out there that says lateness is a personality trait. It's not. Don't believe the blog posts that say lateness is not disrespectful to other people. It is. It's disrespectful, you know, as a customer, you know, when people say you'll have it on Tuesday and it doesn't arrive until Friday, do you feel respected? No, you feel underserved. You feel like they didn't do a good job. It actually affects your perception of the quality of the product. And the product is the same whether it arrives on Tuesday or on Friday. And if everybody's late all the time, products are going to be late. Shipments are going to be late. Customers are going to be disappointed.
It's funny. I had a conversation with somebody about 2 weeks ago. And I was getting ready to leave for a meeting with you. And you texted me. And the person was we were looking at some document. So he was over my shoulder. And he saw that you texted me, hey, dude, I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm going to be 1 minute late to our meeting. And he's like, dude, why? Like, he's texting me that he's going to be 1 minute late. I said, dude.
Yeah, that's how you do
that's
it.
That's respect. That's how you do yeah, it.
That's
we
right.
We regularly do that, right? That's the
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah. All right, so ask and capture on this one about receiving recognition and praise in the past week. Can you give me some examples where you did something praiseworthy and I didn't recognize it recently?
Employees are recognized for good work performance.
There we go again. Feedback and praise, folks. You can ask, what can we do to recognize your good work better?
Cool. All right, on to our next category. Questions regarding training and development.
Yeah, this is another category where we managers share responsibility with the company. There are plenty of companies with robust training opportunities that some managers directs never hear about, and plenty of companies with weak training offerings, but employees desperate for them, and it's not enough. Managers are supposed to know and help our directs know about them and take advantage of them, and they're supposed to do it while they're working. Now, if one of your directs says, well, I can't do all my work and go to training. Sure, you can. Figure out how to do it 100% of your work and 95% of the time. Look for ways to be more efficient. I still expect quality. But look, think about how much faster the world of work has gotten because of cell phones, because of being able to text, of text messaging and iMessage and Slack and Teams messages and so on. Things have sped up enormously. That saves us time. We don't have to type out an agenda with five copies, carbon copies, to create a meeting, right? Things can happen much more quickly. So things are getting better, and now it's on you. Figure out how to save 5% of your time and use that 5% of time to get trained.
Yeah. And certainly you can figure out how to save 5%, right?
Oh, 5% is easy. The average waste of every person in every company is 30%.
30%, yeah. So
5% is easy.
Child's play.
Yes.
Okay, first question. The company provides training to help me build skills.
Yeah, so if you got a low score, what training do we have that you like or don't like? And what training do we not have that we need?
There is a process that helps me identify development needs.
Yeah, I'm joking here when I say it's entirely possible that you, the manager, are part of the process, which is to say you are the key part of the process.
That's you're supposed to, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. You're supposed to be asking what their needs are and comparing that to what you know of training. If you don't know about your company's training courses, look at the org's intranet, find out, ask some of your peer managers, and don't tell me, oh, I didn't want to ask. I'm afraid they'll learn that I don't know. Trust me, your people know you don't know. Admit it. You could say, yeah, I should know. Okay, but should is not a good management word. So find out. And in this case, ask and capture, what's the process, as far as you know, and how's it working for you?
Yeah, and you don't even have to go find out. You can just use this thing called delegation. And
yeah, there you go.
Works beautifully.
Good.
Next question. My manager encourages and supports my development.
Yeah, this one starts with my manager. So this one is all on you folks, obviously. If you haven't been talking about training, development, growth, and haven't been given feedback or quarterly performance reviews, it's unlikely you'll score well. Ask and capture and pay attention to the answers. What can I do better to support and encourage your development?
In the last 6 months, my manager has talked to me about my progress.
Yeah, so thus manager tools guidance that you should give a mid-year review, even if your company doesn't require it. There's some data that says that talking about progress every 6 months or so, as opposed to every year, is about the right frequency to satisfy most employees and to reduce retention issues. While you should be able to check your calendar, if you want to, you can ask and capture, who haven't I talked to about progress in the last 6 months? Now, you already know that. Most people are not. But if you're a manager tools manager and you've been following the Trinity and our guidance and so on, you should have no problem with that. But if, in fact, you feel you have been doing that, listen carefully if somebody says they don't think you have.
Yeah, these set of questions are pretty tough on the manager who's getting low scores here. It's hard to pawn these off on upper management or other organizations.
Yeah, but there's nothing we can do about the past, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So let's change our behavior. It's pretty simple. Go.
When I started working here, I received the right amount of training / onboarding.
Yeah, we certainly hope if you're a longtime MT community member, you've used our onboarding process to make this question a slam dunk. You can ask and capture what could we improve in our onboarding, or you could just go listen to that podcast. And if you're a licensee, download our 200 item checklist of onboarding. It'll become yours. You start changing it for your company's stuff and learn the lesson of onboarding that a great deal of it can happen before the person ever starts.
My manager has regular meetings with me to discuss my progress. Similar to a previous question.
Yeah. So maybe it's not every 6 months, but you can still get credit for some progress discussions. Ask and capture, how often do you think we should be meeting to discuss progress? Now, progress sounds like a big thing, but you know, by the mile, it's a trial. By the yard, it's hard. And by the inch, it's a cinch. The solution to this is bring up progress and development and performance in your weekly one-on-ones. Now, if they say, I want to meet with you once a month, you don't have to agree to what they want. And don't be surprised if one or two of your directs say, oh, I don't have to talk to you ever. You could politely ignore them and you could still do a mid-year review and you can do quarterly updates as well. And if they say, well, I don't want this, say, you know what? There's got to be some equity here. Everybody's got to go through this. I need help in evaluating where everybody is so I can think more clearly about those people who want to move into different roles. And that means I have to be able to talk to everybody. And you could essentially just extend your one-on-one to 45 minutes quarterly and say, we're going to have a discussion about where you are big picture and what you need to do to get to the next step for you.
Yeah. Some things don't have to be optional. The performance appraisal process clarifies my objectives for the year.
Yeah, so most performance review systems talk about this, but almost none do any serious work around next year's goals. You might have been doing what every other manager does, and at the same time, all of you aren't doing what the company expects to be done. That's all leavened by the fact that directs care about only two things in a review, their compensation and their review, right? We do recommend talking about next year's goals with your directs during performance reviews. We have extensive guidance on reviews, which you've already mentioned. Unfortunately, in many orgs, the planning process for next year isn't done by the time this year's review is done. That's okay. Ignore what the company's doing. Just plan with what you have and what you're doing right now with the performance review, deliver it during the review, and then make adjustments as next year planning comes in. And you can ask and capture, how could we make the performance review system better? And pay particular attention to those areas where you could make it better. And frankly, if you haven't listened to our guidance and haven't implemented our guidance on performance reviews, all you'd have to do is do that to have everyone say, this is a good performance review. And for many of them, they will say for the first time in their career.
Yeah. And it's easy.
Yeah.
Boston, we are headed your way. We're hosting an EMC and ECC in Boston. That's on November 7th and 8th. 2 days, effective management and effective communicator conferences. If you're in the area, or at least maybe one hop from Boston Logan, it's an opportunity to learn the next steps to being a more effective professional. We're going to talk about better management, better communication, and you can also meet other professionals in the area. If you're interested in either, you can sign up at manager-tools.com/training. See you soon.
All right, next category.
Yeah.
Questions regarding quality of life.
Yeah, so this is an interesting category because companies are trying to address work-life balance, only half of which they control. Although it does go to the interest into the issue of retention, you don't have as much traction here as we might like.
Okay, first question. The physical work environment is about right for the work I do.
Yeah, there's probably not much you can do about this issue, except perhaps for cleanliness, which is a manager's responsibility in your area. So ask and capture, what changes would you recommend to our physical work environment? And we'll also say this, you have a great deal more flexibility than you realize. You don't have to go to your boss to make a change in the workflow of your people and the physical layout of how things happen. Even on a production floor, if it's your area, you can do anything just about. You can't change other people's areas. You may have to communicate with your peers who provide you inputs or accept your outputs, but you can still do it. You may not be able to make cubicles, but there are things you can do with the walls. There are things you can do to liven things up. And again, cleanliness is a huge plus in work environments. And that's as hard as saying, hey guys, when you go home, clean up your cubicle. Simple.
The balance between my work and personal responsibilities is right for me.
Yeah, and this is a retention driver, no question. Employees who have imbalance here are less likely to be retained. So ask, what could make your work-life balance better?
My regular work location is convenient for me.
Yeah, it's probably, again, a retention driver question. If there are multiple other employers in the greater area where yours is, the elimination of a 40-minute commute, all things being equal, which they never are at Butina, is a big win for somebody's work-life balance. So you could ask and capture, what can we do regarding work location? And of course, you're going to hear, I'll work from home. But be careful. If you were able to magically grant that, you would discover productivity suffered.
My work-related stress is manageable for me.
Ask and capture, what's driving your work stress and how can we help? Again, stress may come from somebody else in the team. They may not be as open-minded, so that may be a question you hear and you want to remind them. If there are any questions you have input on that you don't want to share in front of everybody else, let's talk in our next one-on-one. And as best I can, I'll include that input in my report on our responses.
Yeah, one-on-ones are a great way to discover these kind of things from personal experience, I can say. I can keep a reasonable balance between my work and personal life.
Yeah, again, ask and capture. What can we do to help you keep a reasonable balance?
All right, next category, questions regarding teamwork.
Yeah, we don't think of these questions as being so much about teamwork as they are about the respondents' peers, their colleagues at roughly the same level in the organization. There's some data that friendships at work are helpful, but we at Manager Tools don't consider it dispositive or even terribly significant. It's just a very famous question that came out of the original Gallup Q12 survey, I have a friend at work.
Okay, so first question, my coworkers and I work well together.
Yeah, so Because this is another area we might hear crickets, just ask what's good about working with your colleagues and what's not so good. And by the way, you may need to tell them, and colleagues may not just be this group here. It may be the teams on either side of us or our customers or our suppliers internally.
Okay. My coworkers respect my thoughts and feelings.
Yeah, we look askance at questions about thoughts and feelings. I don't know how anybody can respect someone's thoughts because thoughts are not shared, but okay. So ask and capture, can you share examples of colleagues not respecting your thoughts and feelings? And again, if you want to share that privately, you can.
My coworkers and others increase my overall job satisfaction.
Yeah, so ask, what do colleagues do to increase your overall job satisfaction?
Okay. I enjoy the organizational culture in my interaction with my colleagues.
Ask and capture, what about the culture and your colleagues is either good or bad?
I feel a part of a team working towards a shared goal.
Ask and capture, what makes you feel part of a team or not? And maybe you could say, what do we do that makes you feel part of a team or doesn't?
Yeah, behavior.
Yeah, behavior.
At work, my opinions seem to count.
Ask, what things do we do that help you feel that your opinions count or don't count? Are there things that I'm doing that make you feel like your opinion doesn't count? Because I want to change those things.
Teamwork is valued and encouraged by my manager.
Same thing. What am I doing to encourage teamwork? And are there things I could be doing that would further help?
I have a good friend at work.
Well, there's that question, right? This is a question famous in the engagement world. It was one of the original 12. Showed high correlation with engagement. Now, unfortunately, the definition of engagement was whatever they said it was. So this question's fame comes from that association and its uniqueness. Nobody had ever thought to measure the value of a friend at work. If you can't name the friends at work of each of your directs, you're not paying enough attention. So you can ask, how do you feel? Do you have friends here or not?
I see teams working together well across different departments.
Yeah, this is a simplistic sounding question, but teams working well together across organizational boundaries is incredibly hard, or must be, because also almost nobody is any good at it. Whenever our team has to work across boundaries, we managers must work on our relationship with that other team's manager. We have to get to know the team members, let them know your door is open to them too. When one of your people is having trouble across a boundary, offer to help or give them guidance. First, before you offer to do anything for them, ask them what they think, and if possible, tell them, do that. But trust me, the answer is never them saying, I'm going to send a third email. Ask and capture, what could we do to help you work across boundaries?
I think a new hire would see that we value teamwork.
Ask and capture, what do we do that helps show we value teamwork and when do we not show it?
Okay, so our next and last category.
Last category.
Questions allowing free/textual responses.
Yeah, look, now we provide this guidance simply to give you an idea about the kinds of questions that might be included on your survey to allow more wide-ranging input. You may not be given your team's responses, though we hope you do get to see them. Survey companies often hold them back so they can analyze them, but textual responses obviously take a lot longer to analyze than numerical responses. Please, folks, heed our guidance regarding written comments that are exposed to the organization. First, don't put anything in writing just because they say it's anonymous. They may say that, but if every boss gets all the written responses for their team, we guarantee the first thing bosses are doing is reading those comments and saying, I know who wrote that one. It's stupid,
but it really happens.
It really happens, and you're exposing your directs to risk you ought to know better about. Second, don't try to figure out who wrote the comments. Don't be that person. And the questions that we saw were, what are the best things about working here? What would you like to see improved? Is there something the company isn't doing that it should start doing? The whole idea of all these is just to capture in sort of a generic way all the ash and trash that wasn't asked. Although I got to tell you, with a 140 question survey, they asked pretty much everything. Is there something the company isn't doing that it should start doing? What advice would you give your manager to manage the team better? What advice would you give your company leadership on leading the company? I don't think if you've gotten written responses, if they haven't shared them with you, you don't need to repeat these questions in your ask and capture sessions. Hopefully, the overall survey and the fact that you cover it in some detail to figure out how you're going to respond to the areas where you're not good will cause people to open up and share more of these kind of things rather than you worrying about what they wrote on the survey.
All right. So how do you possibly summarize these 10 parts?
I'm going to be very brief. That's how. I will say it again. We've said it repeatedly. The value of your planning, your response to the outcomes from your directs is in the questions, not in the categories. Review the question responses with your directs, and then and only then start formulating a plan. We'll have more guidance on your planning in the future. It's all about the questions. And we're sorry this was so detailed. We could not figure out a way ethically to do this and to get it out to people, because there are thousands of managers, tens of thousands probably by now, in our community are dealing with engagement surveys. And we'll also say one more thing. This is the longest single podcast Manager Tools has ever created. It's over 19,000 words. Our average is 1,500. So it's over 10 times as long as the average. That's why there's 10 parts. And we're really sorry for the length, but there was no other way to give you detailed, specific, actionable guidance. And we weren't going to whitewash or paint this at a high level, because we know if we were you, this is what we'd want. Detailed, specific, actionable guidance. This is also the cast with more mentions than any other that I've ever written. Folks, for those of you who don't know, casts that are mentioned in other casts that are mentioned, like our first two chapters on engagement, one-on-ones, feedback, coaching, delegation, rolling out the Trinity, getting your goals from your boss, how to run a staff meeting, communications planning, you're not a psychologist, all the ones we mentioned, they are at the bottom of the show notes. They're also on the webpage for this podcast. If you want to come and if you're listening on a podcatcher, great, but you can come to the website, search for engagement casts, find this one, go to the webpage that has all of the sections, all the chapters of this cast, or all the parts of this cast. And in the bottom right, there will be a long list of links to other podcasts. If you're a licensee, though, at the bottom of these voluminous show notes is every single podcast that's mentioned with links. So you're looking at it online. If you want to refer to another one, if we mention a cast that you don't think you've heard, you can scroll down to the bottom of the cast real quick, find the link, click on it, and it will take you to that podcast page, and you can listen to that one. Or if you're a licensee, of course, you can just open up the show notes.
Or you could get the Manager Tools mobile app from your favorite mobile app store, and all that information is there as well.
Yeah, exactly. Good.
All right. Thank you, my friend. I know this was a hard slog just to write it, let alone talk about it. So a lot of work. I appreciate it greatly.
I have a feeling that people are going to come up to me now when I travel and say, hey, you're Mr. Ask and Capture. I earned that one. I wish there was a better way, but this is the best way to do it.
Awesome. Thank you, my friend.
All right. Thank you, partner.
All right, everyone. See y'all.